Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
This is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And we're here to talk about college football, high school football, and football.
And football. There more football. Go. Spring football.
There you go. It's a long way off to spring football.
I know. We got a lot to do before then.
Look, do we want to start out talking about Hugh Freeze?
I don't know if I can take it. My nerves are shot.
What do you think went wrong?
I don't know. Today, I detected a little bit of the stuff I saw on social media, that a little bit more of good riddance. You know, it seemed like he had a pretty good rapport with everybody. I saw the athletic director's comments yesterday, and then see the new basketball coach, Pearl. He said, everybody wants patience. He said, we got no patience. We got to start practicing or whatever. So a little dig.
Did they win last night, the basketball team? Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, just how do you have success at those other stops he had, and then just they couldn't get it done?
Yeah, everybody talks about fit, and I don't know exactly how I feel about fit. I mean, who has been successful at multiple places? Urban Meyer was successful at multiple places. Utah, Florida, Ohio State. Was he a fit? Or was he just a successful coach? Now, Steve Spurrier had great success at Florida, not equal success in South Carolina. Bear Bryant, he was successful wherever he was. So I just don't know. The game is so impatient nowadays. Everybody wants patience. It's impatient nowadays. And they just don't give you much of a chance. And you know, maybe this had nothing to do with it, but I think back to the summertime and people said he was playing too much golf.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing I saw today on some social media people podcasts were saying, you know, that's true. Like, I mean, the guy was on the golf course on Friday for a game or Sunday after a game. You can't do that. Kirby Smart's not playing
golf.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. At the end, I think he started to wear people thin. When he first came, I was excited about it. So
when Auburn hired Hugh Freeze, Auburn people were excited to get Hugh Freeze.
I think so.
Who could they get now they would be excited about?
I think the only person anybody's going to be universally excited about is Lane Kiffin, and he may not go anywhere. I don't think he's going to Auburn if he goes anywhere. I don't know. It would be interesting to know, you know, if you're co-in the athletic director, I mean, who's the guy out there that may be an assistant somewhere that they think this guy's a home run? Like everybody thought Kirby was a home run.
Well, that's right. Everybody at Georgia was excited when they hired Kirby Smart. And I think they were mostly excited when they hired Mark Richt because he came from the premier program at the time, Florida State. So, again, if you can find a great assistant coaches, I tried to look up some names of some top assistant coaches to see. Ryan Grubb, but he's at Alabama. He's the offensive coordinator. Would he go across the state to be the Auburn head coach? I don't know. Pat Dye did.
Pat Dye was there 9 years.
That's right. Brian Hartline, Ohio State offensive coordinator. He's got all those receivers up there. It's made him look good. Would he be a guy that would do it? Here's Tim Banks, the Tennessee defensive coordinator, listed as one of the top defensive assistant coaches. Chris Hampton, Oregon co-defensive coordinator. And then I've seen Glenn Schumann's name on some lists, the Georgia defensive coordinator. And so maybe some of these guys are inevitably, some of them are ready to take the leap. We just don't know which ones it is. What would it take to excite the Auburn fan base? I just don't know. Would James Franklin excite him?
I'd take him. Just because I'm so uncertain. I'd be so uncertain about whoever else we get.
Yeah.
Did we knock the hammer on?
No.
I think there's – it's kind of like when the President of the United States says something – if he says it enough, it's almost like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, whatever. Not comparing a head football coach in the SEC to the president. But Kirby does a great job. He came. It was just a matter of fact. We're going to win. We're going to beat everybody in recruiting. You say it over and over again. You start to live it. Everybody starts to believe it. When Steve Spurrier went to Florida, he did that. When Pat Dye came to Auburn, Auburn didn't have hope. They'd lost to Alabama 9 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I think Auburn needs a guy, regardless if he's an offensive coach, defensive coach, or whatever. They need a guy that will win the press conference, and we're going to out-recruit, we're going to outwork, we're going to do whatever it takes to win.
Now this is a little bit ancient history, but what happened with Gene Chizik? I mean, the guy won a national championship, and then a few years later, he's out the door.
Well, it's kind of a cliche to say it, but, you know, Cam Newton was to Auburn what Herschel Walker was to Georgia.
I got you.
And, you look at that 2019 LSU team that was so great with Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. Ed Orgeron that boosted Ed Orgeron up.
Well, certainly. Right, but they had NFL talent all up and down that roster. Mm-hmm. Auburn, Cam Newton was the only great player on that team. And I think that's the answer to Gene Chizik, and it showed. What happened to Gus Malzahn at Auburn?
Yeah. I mean, he was competitive with Alabama and was able to beat him enough. And
one of the problems Auburn's got right now, there's never been a time, really in mine and your lifetime, up into the last 10 years, when both Georgia and Alabama have really had their act together the way they've had it. And that's Auburn's two biggest rivals.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Dye whipped Georgia's tail in recruiting. Auburn ain't going to whip Georgia's tail in recruiting right now. You know, even if it was the old days with the high school recruiting, I mean, I know the transfer portal makes it different, but they're a little bit of a bad spot. They're a bad spot in that pecking order, I think. They're trying to dig themselves out.
So what happened in the Kentucky game? Now, I didn't see it.
It was just the offense was terrible. The defense played well enough to win. That's been the case in every game they've lost.
Yeah. And they've been close in just about every game.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a play or two here and there.
Well, the difference in Georgia and Auburn, Georgia can win the close games, Auburn can't. Tell me about Georgia.
They just keep finding some way to come out slightly ahead and beat somebody. I don't know that they play with their food so much. It's just I'm not sure they have the ability to dominate anybody. But they have enough good players and enough good coaches. They figure out a way to just have a few more points than the other guy. And just that Florida game, we come out of the stadium and wonder, how did we win that game? I mean, we're in the fourth quarter trailing and not feeling very good about what we're doing. And then they come on and win. Now, here's the thing I've not heard an answer to. Where was Chauncey Bowens the rest of the game?
I know.
I mean, the guy's been the best running back we've had, and he didn't even get a handoff hardly until very end of the game. And when he did, he was the difference maker.
He was. It's funny that you say that. The running back position in general is just so different than it used to be. I mean, how the strategy as far as getting them in on particular plays, the number of carries, you know, trying to throw to them out of the backfield. I think that guy's a player.
Oh, yeah.
I try to be getting in. I mean, I'd want to have it in his hands 15, 20 times a game, it seems like.
Well, he's certainly got the size and shiftiness, and he's not a burner speed-wise, but he's got enough speed to get a 36-yard touchdown run. So, I think he's a great asset.
In general, I was not surprised. We said last, you know, Florida will probably come out and play good, and then Georgia will beat them in the end. But it was a little bit closer than even that. I mean, Florida, a play here or there, and they win the game.
Sure. Well, what'd you think, catch or not on the?
I think it was. They weren't going to change it based on what they called on the field.
Yeah. I saw it live. And it was pretty much even with where I was sitting in the bleachers. And I thought at the time it was incomplete. But if Lagway throws that ball just a little bit further, that's a touchdown.
And that's probably the ball game.
Yeah. And so that was a breakdown by the secondary. I saw the defensive backs looking at each other after the game, after the play, and said, how did that happen?
Well, that first touchdown by Florida was kind of a little buzz.
Yeah. That was scored right in front of where I was sitting. I could have reached out and touched the Florida guy. practically.
Now, do you got random ticket? You don't sit in the same place every time?
No. Every time is different. Never know where I'm going to be. I've sat in the end zone. I've sat high. I've sat low. One year, the year that Georgia won 24-3 over the number one ranked Florida team, I had basically 50-yard line seats that year. I was the guest of our publisher at the newspaper, and he had good seats, and I got to sit next to him, and that was probably. But of course, the other times I was in the press box up high. But it was a typical Georgia-Florida crowd, typical game, typical atmosphere. Of course, it won't be there for the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a nightmare walking around the stadium because they got so many construction zones that you can't get from one place to another without walking around multiple buildings and construction sites. So we put 9,200 steps just walking around the stadium, getting to and from. It took us 50 minutes to get from the stadium to the arena parking garage, which was less than half a mile from the stadium.
Wow.
50 minutes to get there after the game. Now, my wife, knee surgery, she's walking slow. So that was a factor, but still, we had to go so far.
What do you think about, just in general, about the game being there? I've heard that Kirby doesn't like it necessarily because he'd like to have another recruiting weekend in Athens.
I've heard him say that, and of course, I think now they can invite recruits to come to that game, but I don't know that there's a real asset to it because you don't get to show them the campus and that kind of thing and the practice facilities and all those kind of things. It's not going to change because it is financially much more rewarding to play the game down there because of what Jacksonville pays the schools to come down there. And in this day and age where they got to find $20 million to pay athletes and they got to have something in the bank in case they want to fire a coach and got to pay a buyout fee, they got to have some money.
Well, you think that game and the Oklahoma-Texas game are kind of, those are the kind of only two of those kind of games
all
left.
Army and Navy, of course, is played at a neutral field, usually in Pennsylvania, but they have moved that game around. But yeah, those are very unique games, and I mean, they add to the college football experience and all that.
That's not the Gator Bowl down there that we grew up with. They've improved that thing. You know, it's kind of like Legion Field in Birmingham. You know, the Auburn-Alabama game was there every year. And, you know, that was...
I got to go to that stadium one time. Georgia played over there, I think, in 84.
Yeah, Pulpwood-Smith.
That's right. Had a great game. That's right. Beat Alabama. And that was the only time I've been to that stadium.
I was at... I've been to that, like the Birmingham Bowl and some other games there, but I was at the Auburn-Alabama game in 1982 when Bear Bryant, 81, excuse me, when he became the winningest. He broke Amos Alando Stagg's record. I got a T-shirt in my drawer that says, I was there with the Bear, 315.
So he didn't coach too many more years after that.
The next year was his last
83
year.
83 was his last year.
82 was his
82
last
year. 82 was his last year. I can remember... the day that they played in the Liberty Bowl, who was the defensive back that had three?
Jeremiah Castile.
I got to know Jeremiah.
Really?
I did. He was good friends with some friends of mine out in Old Thorpe County. I went with him one time. He spoke to the middle school students at Oglethorpe Middle School
really?
One time. Just kind of gave a little inspirational talk about success and everything. But he and his wife was named Lori. They had several kids. He was a neat kid,
that's
neat guy.
What everybody remembers about him.
Yeah.
He came up in kind of a hard environment, kind of did well for himself.
Mm-hmm. But that game, the same day they played that game, Georgia basketball was playing San Francisco on the West Coast on national TV. Dominique Wilkins was still playing for Georgia, and so he was getting a lot of national exposure for Georgia. So
did you have to cover the basketball game on TV then?
I did not go to that game on the West Coast.
Well,
no.
I know, but did you have to like watch it and write about it?
I can't remember how we covered that game. Sometimes we actually did do that from time to time back in the day. We'd listen to it on the radio and take notes and report on the game from radio notes. We had to do that with the Andy Lanner's first team, the women's basketball team. They played in the National Women's Invitational Tournament, and they won the title. they were down like 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Now, when would that have been? Early 80s?
79 or 80.
You remember Dave Lucy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my high school basketball coach.
Really?
For a couple years, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the – he coached short-term here at Georgia. Yeah,
he was involved in girls, and he ended up being the coach at Georgia State, the girls' coach.
Okay, all right.
Well, we were talking about Alabama. What do you – I was looking at – of course, they were off last week. They got LSU. That'll be interesting. What do you think about – what's the most interesting game on the slate for this week, you think?
Well, I think Alabama-LSU is interesting. I think Missouri-Texas A&M could be interesting, too.
I do, too.
It's really not a great weekend for SEC. Georgia-Mississippi State, where you got Auburn, Vanderbilt, Kentucky-Florida. Kentucky-Florida could be a competitive game. And I don't know if Mark Stoops is coaching for his job or not. I mean, how many coaches can get fired in one game? People keep asking, where are they going to find replacement for all these guys? You're going to have to find assistant coaches. You can't get them all from head coaches.
Vandy and Auburn.
Is Vandy favored?
I think so, a little bit. You know, the athletic director said the interim, D.J. Durkin, will be a candidate for the Auburn job. I think I messed up my microphone there.
You're good.
I was impressed with his press conference. I don't know. He seems like he's done a great job as a defensive coach. I think the big thing is, like I said earlier, you still got to be able to recruit. You got to be able to get the fans excited.
Does Auburn have the resources necessary for all the NIL and that kind of delay?
I think so, from what I understand.
Yeah. I mean, that's Saban made a comment about that during game day when people were talking about what's the best job in the country. And he says it's different than it used to be. He said it used to be you looked at what is the organizational structure. Is it in place? Do you have a good support? And then you look at facilities. And then you look at recruiting base. And you look at tradition. Well, all those things are still important. But nowadays, the kids want to get paid, and you got to have the money. And so if you don't have the money, you're not going to pay. I heard that Samford was losing players. Samford University, which is a small school. Like, they had a lineman who transferred to Mercer because Mercer gave him $5,000. Just $5,000. But they're putting all their NIL money, I understand, into basketball. Football doesn't get any.
Really?
So that's interesting. Hey, we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to deal with some technical things here. But always want to remind you to subscribe and like us on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you come in contact with Sidelines and Headlines, and spread the word about us so that we can become fabulously wealthy. What do you think?
I'm all for that. And come eat at Brett's.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. Sidelines and Hey, we're back with Sidelines and Headlines. I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
And we're talking college football. And tonight in college football world, the first CFP rankings come out just in a few minutes. Who do you expect to be number one?
I guess Ohio State.
I heard somebody make a good case that Indiana could be number one.
They've had more
impressive wins, actually, than Ohio State.
Well, I guess the top five, I guess, will probably be Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, right?
Yeah, that's what the consensus is. Those will be
interesting to see if they shuffle those anyway.
Yeah. Well, A&M even could bump up as high as number two, I think. I don't think they'll be number one, but they got an impressive win at Notre Dame, and that's a win. You look at Indiana, they got a win at Oregon. But how good is Oregon? You thought Oregon had a good win at Penn State. How good was that? Because Penn State's not too good. Ohio State beat Texas, but how good is Texas? I mean, you can play that game ad infinitum. Who else? Who do you think from the SEC, who's positioned to get into the playoffs aside from Alabama, Georgia, A&M? Those three of the top five.
Ole Miss. They got the Citadel this week, then they got Florida and Mississippi, an off week, then Mississippi State. So So I don't think it's too far-fetched to think they'll finish with just one loss, even if they finish with two.
Does Oklahoma have even a chance to get in?
I don't think so. I was pulling for Tennessee. I don't really like Oklahoma. I don't think.
Well, Oklahoma to me fails the eye test.
I think they
don't. They don't look very good. Now, but they're winning. I mean, they lost two games, and if they finish up with two losses, it may be hard to keep them out.
Yeah, for them, that was a huge win against Tennessee.
Yeah,
because Tennessee to me kind of does pass the eye test.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they. You know, they can be good, very good offensively. Might they get in the right kind of game, they might could beat anybody.
But what about Texas?
Boy, it's going to be interesting next week.
Yeah.
When they come to Athens. I think a lot of people wrote them off, but, you know, if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm very nervous about Mississippi State, and Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah. Georgia's got four games left. Charlotte's an automatic win. And then the other three games are going to be tough games. Mississippi State has been in every game. And just finally went over the top against Arkansas last week. So it's not a gimme. Not a gimme at all.
I may have mentioned this earlier. I can't remember. My son was saying today he hopes Jeff Levy, Mississippi State's coach, is the next guy at Auburn. They didn't play bad last year against Georgia and Athens.
No,
Georgia kind of pulled away from them. Is Georgia just a team of destiny, or are they just living on borrowed time? Are those close victories going to catch up with them?
If they keep playing like that, I think eventually it's going to catch up to them. They caught up against them with Alabama. That was a close game, and Alabama had enough to hold them off. Now, they had one play. The guy catches the ball. That changes the context of the game. It does not necessarily change the outcome, because Alabama plays it differently if they're behind than if they did when they're ahead. So they might have won anyway. But Kirby talked about this. He says, if I could dial up a 21-point lead, I would, but I can't. You have to play the hand that's dealt to you, and this is the hand we've been dealt. And, you know, I thought that Georgia played better overall than Florida, although actually I thought DJ Lagway might have outplayed Gunnar Stockton to some extent. This was not Gunnar's best game.
Yeah.
He played well enough, but he didn't dominate or anything like that. So,
back to the rankings. I guess if Tech were to win out, beat Georgia, they'd be a playoff team for sure.
You would think so. The ACC's kind of in a bind with Miami losing to SMU last week. That kind of took a lot of luster out of that conference. And of course, Florida State's fallen off of.
Clemson got beat by
Clemson
Duke.
Is what, 3-5 right now? I looked up the Clemson, the rest of their schedule. They've got to play Florida State this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Then they play Louisville, which Louisville would be favored in that game. Then they play Furman, which they would be favored to win that. And then they play South Carolina. And that could be a toss-up game. I talked to a guy today who lives over in the Clemson area, a good friend of mine named George Bolin, and I asked him, what's going on? And his comments were, he really doesn't know. He says, I can't figure it out why Clemson is struggling so much. And I asked him, well, is Dabo still have cachet with the Clemson fans? And he says he doesn't think that they've given up on it, that he's still got the backing of most of the fans over there. So there's a few people that are upset, but not many. I think, this is my theory, is that he's been slow to adapt to the portal and NIL and is putting behind the eight ball. And he was slow to adapt in a very vocal way. He didn't like it, and he said he didn't like it. And I think those words are coming back to bite him in a sense. And he's got to figure out some way to get over the hump. Also, think about this. For many years, he had Tony Elliott as his offensive coach and Brent Venables as his defensive coach. A lot of stability. Those two guys are gone now. Elliott's up in Virginia. Venables at Oklahoma. Things are not quite as stable up there.
Well, he also had some. He's kind of missed on his quarterbacks the last couple of years. Kind of like Freeze missed at Auburn, you know. It was nice when he had Deshaun Watson and
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, those were generational talent.
Yeah, they had two in a row.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, do you think he's, seems like to me Dabo's reactions, almost like freeze. He looked defeated sometimes in the press conference. He got to the point where he couldn't say the right thing. Dabo keeps referring back to the 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to, at some point you just got to go win next week, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know Dabo personally or anything. I think he's – I like his Christian stand. I think he's a fine man. But he seems a little bit touchy about things. Like Brian Kelly was the same way, you know. And so he may just be at a loss of how to overcome where he's at. Maybe he needs some fresh blood on his staff. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But they could wind up they got five losses now. They could lose three more games. They could wind up 4-8. That would be a disastrous year.
5 years ago, that would have been unheard of.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yep. So here we go. I want us to play a little. Well, let me ask you this first though. Do you see where Shaq claims that LSU is talking to Nick Saban?
Yes, I saw that. I didn't know what point. Yeah, I did see that. I've heard that from other places, too.
Well, I think LSU would talk to Nick Saban. But mostly, Nick Saban's going to say, I'm not coming. Let me tell you who you ought to hire. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of conversation they should have. He's 74 years old. He got out because he didn't like where college football was going. I imagine he likes what he's doing now. He's got a lot more free time to be with his family and play golf and do the things he loves. Why would he get back into the rat race?
I think he's got enough of an ego. People say he's got an ego, so he might get back in. I think his ego will keep him from getting back in. He don't want to tarnish his legacy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it wouldn't just be easy.
You know, I saw a statistic somewhere that coaches who come back to the same place, Bill Snyder seems to be the only example who came back to Kansas State and had as much success the second time as he did the first time. So going back is not always the answer. So here's what I want to do is in or out. We did up or down earlier this year. Who's going to be better or worse? Let's look at some teams right now, and I'm going to take it down, and we're going to say when it comes time for the final playoffs, who's going to be in, who's going to be out.
All right.
So I'm going to take a note here, and I've got the AP Top 25, and we'll use that as our guide because we haven't seen the college football rankings yet. So, Ohio State, in or out?
In.
And I'm with you. That's two ins. All right, Indiana.
In.
Yeah, that's another couple of ins. All right, Texas A&M.
In.
A couple more ins there. Alabama.
In.
In, yep. Georgia.
I think they'll be in. Even if they lose another one, I think they'll be in.
All right, how about Oregon?
In.
All right. Two more ends, so we're down to six ends. We filled up half the field yet.
All right,
Ole Miss.
In.
In. I think they'll be in. All right, here we go. Two Big 12 teams. BYU.
Out.
I'm going to say out, too. They've got to play Texas Tech this week. Then they've got TCU. Then they got Cincinnati. Then they got UCF. That's a pretty tough road there.
Yeah.
So Texas Tech, in or out?
In.
I'm going to say in, too. All right, Notre Dame, in or out?
I hope they're out, but they're probably going to be in.
I think they'll make it in. I really do.
Okay, we got to look at the numbers now here. How many we got?
All right, we got
far?
6, 7, 8. We filled in 9 of the 12 slots right now. We still have to get an ACC team in. We have a Big 12. We have a Big 10. We have an SEC. We've got those taken care of. We got to save one spot for a group of five team. So, Oklahoma, in or out?
Out.
I'm going to say out, too. Virginia, in or out?
Out.
Out. Okay. I'm going to say out, too. Texas, in or out?
Out.
I'm going to say out, too. Even though I saw Starkeesian lobbying for a three-loss team to get into the playoffs. How about Louisville, in or out?
Out.
I'm going to say in. I think that may be the ACC representative, Louisville. All right, then we got Vanderbilt, in or out?
Out.
Yeah, a couple of outs there. They got too much ground to go. Georgia Tech, in or out?
I hope they're in, but I don't know.
But you don't have an ACC team in yet.
I don't. I'm going to say Tech.
You're going to put Tech in. I'm going to put them out because I think that they're going to lose to Louisville in the conference championship, or Louisville's going to knock them out somehow. All right, Utah, in or out? They're in the Big 12. I'm going to say they're out. And then you got down here, now we're doing Miami.
Out.
Out, out. Missouri, out, out.
Out.
And then Southern Cal.
Out, out.
All right, so there you go. So let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've still got room for a couple of teams in there. So it could be that maybe Texas can sneak in there. It could be.
So the group of five, we don't have a group of five.
We don't have a group of five. I don't know exactly who that would be. Memphis, I think, has the inside track to get there from the American Conference. Although most people think that South Florida is a better football team. But I just don't know enough about it. So we'll take a look at this list later on and see how we did. And we'll compare our guesses right now with the way it's going to wind up.
Well, that's an interesting exercise because, I mean, obviously I've looked at it like you did too, but you really start to think, I mean, we're at the point now in the season where you can almost, okay, this team, if they lose this game, they're out.
You know? Well, you look at what some of these teams have left. For Texas A&M, they've got Missouri this weekend, which would be a tough game. Yeah. Then they got South Carolina, Samford, and then they play Texas.
They got a loss there somewhere, don't they?
They could. Then you got Alabama. They've got LSU, Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma beat them last year. Then they've got Eastern Illinois. Then they play Auburn. Now, Auburn almost beat them last year.
I know.
It came so close. Ole Miss. They've only got three games left. Citadel.
They'll be the Citadel, and then they got Mississippi State, which they'll have a chance.
And then they have Florida. They play Florida.
They got Florida home and at Mississippi State.
Yeah. And, of course, Georgia's got Mississippi State, Texas, Charlotte, and Georgia Tech. And, I mean, they could get knocked out.
You're hoping for. You said you wanted to win the conference, but you're really hoping for a first-round Athens playoff game.
That'd be good. But and if they do, that's what would happen. It would be quite exciting around here. It'd be quite an electric event. Of course, we found out now that the Texas game is going to be a 7:30 game.
That's going to be a long day. I'm already sleepy.
Are you going? Do you have tickets?
I don't have tickets officially, but I'm trying to decide if I may have an opportunity.
You didn't go to Florida, though, did you?
No.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, of course, I'll be in the press box, and I think my wife is going to be able to make the trip. It's been a great home season, but because of knee replacement surgery, she missed the Alabama and the Ole Miss game.
So she's going to the Texas. Is that what you mean?
I think she's going to go to the Texas game. So,
I'll definitely we'll be down there with our tailgate group, even if we don't go to the game. I'm sure I'll stay and watch it, but I'll probably be asleep.
Well, we are talking about Hugh Freeze, and that added to the vacancies. We're up to 12 current vacancies: LSU, Florida, Auburn, Arkansas in the SEC, Penn State, UCLA, Stanford in the Big Ten, Oklahoma State in the Big 12, Colorado State, I don't even know what conference they're in, UAB, Oregon State, and Virginia Tech. Did you see what Oregon State and Washington State, they played last week? Oregon State won, but it was a non-conference game. They're going to play a conference game later, and that will be to determine the winner of the two-team conference.
It's crazy, isn't
it? It is. Well, the way we have monkeyed around with college football.
Hey, speaking of coaches, we talk about it as the next few weeks, but Colorado's going to finish probably 4-8 with Deion.
Yeah.
Is anybody even going to want him?
That's a good question. You know, you wonder if that was just a flash in the pan because he had, a Heisman Trophy winner and his son Shadur playing quarterback. Was he just lucky to have some good players? I just don't know.
Well, the big news in college football this week, you knew I'd figure a way to squeeze this in. Presbyterian College won.
They did.
Valparaiso, or however you pronounce it. So
that's an Indiana team, I think.
Yeah, they're like 9-1 now. So.
And are they going to a good position in their conference? Or
they are transitioning to non-scholarship football, the Pioneer League. They're technically in the Big South.
Okay.
And I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I've been told the best case for them is they're going to get blown out in the first round playoff game.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going
to
understand.
Have you been to a game?
Not lately.
When's the last time you went?
Gosh, it's been over 20 years ago.
Okay. All right.
I think I told you it was. I had a guilty complex. I had friends, such a small school, that were on the team when I was at BC, and there were times when we'd leave town and head to Columbia or Clemson or Athens to a game, and our buddies were right there in town playing a game. But they had a few athletes, but it was anyway. It's a good thing when your school has a football team. They talked about dropping football.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one thing we haven't talked about yet is high school football. Playoffs are on the horizon. Let's come back and talk about that here on Sidelines and Headlines. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, Blake Giles.
Jim Hart.
We're back with Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And we're talking about high school football. No games this week because the whole state of Georgia gets an off week. I think they do that as a weather.
Yeah, didn't even have a good hurricane.
Yeah,
bad,
that's right.
Hurricane.
So they do that as a kind of a weather safety makeup games. But it has been decided. We know who's going, who won the regions, all those kind of things. Jackson County won their first region championship in the history of the school.
That's awesome.
It started from 1980, and they beat Habersham Central 53-6. It was a four-quarter party up there. My daughter went to the game, and my grandson is a non-playing sophomore on the team. She said that Jackson County blocked two kicks, one return for a touchdown and one return to about the 5-yard line. And so they just pretty well dominated the game. So good for the Panthers to get their first ever region championship.
Speaking of kind of teams, kind of outliers from right here in Athens, Oglethorpe beat Banks County. They're going to the Granite Bowl.
Yeah, play Elbert County. They were in the playoffs a couple of years ago, but that was kind of a backdoor thing. Everybody got into the playoffs that year. They earned their way in this year. Good season for Oglethorpe County. 6-4, first winning season since 2005.
That's crazy. 20 years. Morgan County's undefeated, beat Callaway. They got Westside Macon. My buddy Shedrick Spoon Risper.
There you go.
He'll be his.
This is his last swan song, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure Morgan County
could be his last game. Then. Yeah.
But Jefferson's got Daugherty coming to town.
Clark Central's got to go all the way to Effingham County for their game. Clark beat Winder 59-24. They drew the second seed, Effingham County. But it's not much better for Winder. They got to play at Brunswick, so that's a little bit even further.
And Oconee's at Northwest Whitfield. They lost to Jefferson.
Yeah, and it was a close game, 24-19. So that was close. Prince Avenue got hammered by.
I don't know if he was going to bring it up.
Oh, sure. Hammered by Hebron Christian. It was 43-6, and they scored all 43 of their points in the first half.
Well, serious question. I was going to ask you about that. I was going to let you bring it up, but how much of that was due to the young quarterback playing?
Some of it was due to the young quarterback. I mean, he threw an interception on the second play of the game, and that got him off to a bad start. But Hebron has an excellent running back. Devin Caldwell's his name. He had over 220 yards rushing in the first half. He broke a long run in the second half that was called back because of a penalty. He was probably the best back that I've seen this year, and he's going to be a handful, whoever's got him in the playoffs. And as it works out, Prince Avenue gets a bye the first week. Then they play the winner of Providence Christian at Wesleyan, which I would expect that to be Wesleyan. The winner of that game most likely would play Hebron. So, at Hebron. So, that's another...
So, other than Hebron, and obviously Prince is good, they're in a little weird situation right now. Who else do you think...
Well, in that classification, I mean, Athens Academy has had an excellent season.
Oh, wow.
And they've got some real game breakers in Keon Stanford and Prince. But I don't know how they stack up, you know, across the line against some of these other teams. Fellowship Christian is the number one seeded team based on the power rankings. But I really think Hebron Christian is the best team overall. So probably one of those three teams could probably win.
I feel about them like we felt for a few years there with Eagles Landing Christian.
Yeah.
And actually, Jonathan Guest, the coach down there, came to Hebron and he left.
For 1 year. And then the coach that's at Hebron now was an assistant at Elko for a couple of years. He was between head coaching jobs. He coached at Landmark Christian and went to Trinity Christian. And in between, he was at Elko as an assistant. He won a state championship at Trinity. And then they kind of fell off, and now he's at Hebron.